Scripture lesson I have chosen to read from Genesis, the 17th chapter, beginning there at the 15th verse. Genesis 17:15. God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. That's Genesis 17:15 through 22. Let's bow in a prayer. Our Father, we are thankful to you for the many ways you bless us. We consider it a blessing to be here today, and we do pray that you would bless us through your word as we consider this portion of Scripture. We know that these people were dear to you, and they were people of faith, and we have them as examples for our lives. So we pray that we might have open hearts and open minds to grasp this. We do pray for those who mourn, for those who are ill and afflicted. Help us all to love and serve you and to look forward to your coming kingdom. Take this service in charge, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing with this study of the great cloud of witnesses of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we find that there are many lessons for us. Of course, when we're talking about faith, we're still talking about the confidence and assurance that we have from hearing God's word and hearing from God as to what we should do. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this is the theme of this whole section. So what we're seeing here is an application of faith. We're seeing examples of faith and faithful people. This is the fifth in this series in Hebrews 11, the first being the story of Abel, faith's sacrifice, Enoch, faith's walk, Noah, faith's witness, and last week, Abraham, faith's obedience. And this lesson today is on Sarah, because as you go on there in Hebrews 11, after mentioning Abraham, then it goes on to mention Sarah, and about how she received strength to conceive seed. And so as we go on in this particular place, if my Bible is holding together, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, and therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So these two verses, 11 and 12, in the 11th of Hebrews, are talking about Sarah and the apparent insurmountable thing that they had to overcome for her to actually bear a son. So it was by faith Sarah. That's what it says. In other words, that's what it said about each of these people. It was by faith that they did what they did. I rather appreciate the translation in Lamza. This is a Syriac version. They're probably the language that Jesus spoke. Through faith also Sarah, who was barren, received strength to conceive an offspring, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she was sure that he who had promised her was faithful. Therefore there sprang from one who was as good as dead as many as the stars of the sky in number, and as the grains of sand which is on the seashore, innumerable. The diglot is very similar, but I'll read that too, the 11th verse. In faith also Sarah herself received power for conception, even beyond the proper period of life, since she regarded him faithful who promised. Therefore also were born from one who, even as to these things, had become lifeless, a posterity like the stars of heaven, or for multitude, and like that sand on the shore of the sea, innumerable. So what we're seeing here is that these verses are not talking about Abraham, but they're talking about Sarah. The way the King James Version reads, it sounds as though the 12th verse is talking about Abraham, but it's not. It's talking about Sarah all the way. King James says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, when it is actually talking about Sarah, who was lifeless as far as bearing children. So the reason we're emphasizing that is because we're talking about Sarah, who was faith's conclusion. God spoke to her, she heard him, she believed, and God did what he said. So this is the reason why we're talking about her, because she is an example of faith and is listed among this great cloud of witnesses. We read to you from the 17th of Genesis, and this is the place where they were promised a child by Sarah. And this was an unbelievable thing. In fact, sometimes when I have an older friend that becomes pregnant, I say, well, hello, Sarah. And so, because it's kind of like her. She didn't think she would ever have a child. She was barren. And so when God actually came to Abraham and said, don't call her Sarai anymore, call her Sarah, because she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham's reaction was he fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, which is 90, bear? And here again, this is one of the things that we've brought out about Abraham through the years, where Abrahamic faith, we don't worship Abraham, but we see in Abraham a man of faith, an outstanding man of the age, all of the ages of this earth. And but the thing that I see about him is that he was still human. And when God said, Sarah will have a child, he said, well, God, why don't you let Ishmael be the seed? And he was just taking things in his own hands, you might say, and the efforts of man instead of the work of God. And the thing that I see in this that's encouraging to me is that Abraham grew in faith. He didn't come on the scene full grown in faith, but he grew in faith. And so here you see again him not quite full of faith, in which he said, well, you say she's going to have a child, but let's let Ishmael be the seed. And so God repeated it. Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son indeed, and you'll call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. But I will, for your sake, bless Ishmael. And he did. And the Ishmaelites, many of whom we know today as Arabs, are very numerous because of the blessing of God. So this was the original place. Then in the 18th chapter, again there at the 18th chapter, 9th verse. And they said unto him, where is Sarai thy wife? This is where the angels appeared in the tent door. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am grown old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. So this was very interesting and very human and very sweet, as you think about it. She was there in the tent and heard this again and laughed. In the New Testament, in the fourth of the book of Romans, which is devoted to justification by faith and the place of Abraham in that great plan of justification, there in the 19th through the 21st verses of the fourth chapter of Romans, it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So you see that this idea of laughing may have had a tinge of unbelief in it, but it was not all unbelief. In fact, when you get into the Jewish commentaries and versions, they emphasize the fact that this was joy. This was happiness that they learned that Sarah would have a son. In fact, in the Pentateuch and Haftorahs for 17:17, it says that Abraham rejoiced, but he still fell on his face as an act of reverence to God and to God's representatives who had born this message. So the laughing, as I say, not totally an unbelief, but it is, but it was also one of joy. In fact, if you take your concordance and look up the word Isaac, it means laughter. Young's concordance translates Isaac as laughter, and so does the Pentateuch and Haftorahs. So Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed in herself, they laughed. But it was God that made them laugh. That was the thing that was wonderful. I have known childless people, and some of them do what I think is wonderful. They adopt. But here in this instance, Abraham and Sarah laughed because of the joy that they had that God gave this news to them. In Genesis 21:6, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Isaac had been born, and Abraham circumcised him on the eighth day, and there here we have Sarah saying, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So you see, to me, it was a tinge of unbelief, but it was temporary. And God convinced them that Sarah would have a child, and she did have a child. And what I see in the biblical record is that God presents his saints as they are. He didn't say, well, they immediately believed, but no, they had to be convinced. But it was a wonderful thing that Sarah could bear a child. She received strength to conceive seed, and so did Abraham receive strength by believing. Whenever we think about that text in Hebrews, when it sounded like Abraham was the one that was good as dead, this does not supported by the scriptures, because Abraham later on had more children. So in other words, he was not past the age of fathering children. The 25th chapter in the first four verses, Abraham took a wife, her name was Keturah. She bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashuram, Leftushim, and Leumim, and the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Aldea. All these were the children of Keturah. But Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. So him fathering Isaac was not the end of his fatherhood. He had other children. So that, to me, is pointing back to this thought that I presented to you first, that Hebrews 11 is talking about Sarah all the way, that she was as good as dead, and therefore this was a miracle. God, she, as it says, she judged him faithful who had promised. So that is what, that's what we're getting out of this. In other words, she's faith's conclusion. He spoke, she heard, she believed, she bore a son, and it turned out the way we have it. In fact, the fact that Sarah was a faithful woman, a woman of faith, is the reason she is here in the great cloud of witnesses. And when you get into the Hebrew religion and Hebrew history, she is one of the matriarchs of Israel and stands very high in their estimation of the women, all the women have ever lived. The thing that I see in thinking about an application of what went on here is that we see the birth of Isaac introducing a new element into Abraham's life. And to me, it corresponds to the new nature. And the thing that we see, and we've talked about this a good many times, that the entrance of the new nature in our life is what causes the old nature to show itself. In other words, when you get into the family here, there was no conflict. You had Abraham and Sarah, and you had Ishmael. And Ishmael was a work of the flesh. But then you bring in Isaac, who was the spiritual element, and automatically you begin to get this adversarial position between Sarah and Ishmael, between Isaac and Ishmael, and it's the old nature against the new. In fact, when you get over, if you want a comparable text, Galatians 4, the allegory that Paul brings into this particular equation is very good, and he just plain says that it's the flesh against the spirit. And that this enmity that arose was so typical. It was the old against the new, the bondwoman and her son against the free woman and her son. And he said, really, this is an allegory of the two covenants, Sinai and bondage, New Jerusalem and freedom. But it goes on to talk about in the 29th verse that is, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So Paul is bringing out this fact, this allegory, this application of the fact that Isaac's birth brings in this new element in Abraham's life. It was troubling to Abraham when Sarah insisted that they drive out Hagar and Ishmael. This was made him very sad, and because he was his father. But the thing that when you get talking about new nature, old nature, just the fact that Isaac came on the scene as new nature did not improve Ishmael. In other words, he was old nature, he stayed the same. And so it did not improve him. You can't improve the flesh. All you can do is overcome it and build up the new and the spiritual so that it overcomes it. In casting out the bondwoman and her son did not actually end the problem. And so as with our own selves, as long as we are in the flesh, we have the old nature in us. So you can't really cast it out and get rid of it. All you can hope to do is to subdue it and to reckon that it is cast out. So anyway, this this whole thing, we're seeing how in this whole story, in the life of Abraham and the life of Sarah, that we have these different events and these different applications that come about. The thing that, when I think about the story, I think, how do we get faith? Our faith comes by hearing just like it came to them. How can our faith be strengthened? It's through the Word of God. It's by being familiar with these wonderful stories of people of faith and how they were examples. And as Paul tried to bring out to them in Hebrews the 12th chapter, after giving all these people of faith, he said, this is a great cloud of witnesses that's around us, urging us on that we would go to Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith, who did things himself because of the joy that was set before him. And so these witnesses are urging us on in our walk of faith. So we need to pay attention to that. And that's the way we grow, by exercising our faith and by paying attention to what happened to other people. We have to reckon ourselves as dead to the old and alive to the new. We have to believe God, this is the only way that we can be justified, is by faith in Him. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in Jehovah, and he counted to him for righteousness. So as we believe God, we're justified by faith. And we believe against all the problems in life to actually have this hope that we have, that is steadfast and that helps us in our daily lives. I would say that if we did not have hope, all would be lost. I would not be here if it were not for hope. Hope helps us get through illnesses, deaths, other problems in life. We just say, well, better day coming. And that's what helps us through it. Another thing, just as Isaac brought happiness to Abraham and Sarah, we shall laugh. I think Christian life should be the happiest life that anybody could ever have, because of the assurance and the faith that we have and the promises that we have from God and the relationship we have with God and with His Son and the relationship we have with each other as a family of God. So as a result of this, is Sarah was faith's conclusion. God spoke to her, she heard, she believed, God performed what He said He would do. And so it is with us. We know God will do as He says, and therefore we have great confidence, great joy, and great happiness in Him.